The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Most people getting in touch about this ESRI report today that shows that the current generation of 20 and 30 year olds in this country are going to be the very first generation who will be worse off than the generation before them. That's right, they are not snowflakes, they are not whinging millennials. What they are is screwed. Screwed by a system that used to guarantee if you had a decent job and you worked hard, you could afford a decent home. Not a palace, but a decent home and a pension. The social contract is what we called it. And that social contract is broken, certainly based on this ESRI research today. And it is broken for a number of reasons, most notably because of house prices. Home ownership rates for people in their 20s and 30s today is the lowest it has ever been. And it is not because of foreign holidays, as some people are texting in, and skinny lattes, as other people are texting in, or avocado on rye, as other people again are texting in. Before millennials spend a penny on any of those things, housing is more unaffordable for them than for any previous generation. Add on the cost of childcare, the cost of rent, the cost of living generally, and they are utterly disenfranchised as a generation. 53106 is the number if you want to continue contributing to the debate. You can call me on 1890 453 106. One listener is after getting in touch to say, I'm sorry, I disagree with your caller Tom from earlier, who said that, listen, every city's unaffordable, just move down the country. Every city needs guards, they need nurses and they need teachers. You can't expect them to buy a house in Leitrim, as you suggested, and commute to work every day. Houses need to be affordable for working people with good jobs, and at the moment they are not. Mike, though, he says, 30 years ago, people didn't have a €1,000 phone and foreign holidays. All money went towards mortgage and food. Less well off today is a misnomer. The comforts of modern life is considered a right, not a luxury. Cut down on this and a majority could afford a mortgage. Mike, you might be right about how flahoolock some people are, but the fact is, based on this ESRI research, if they all caught the frugal bug in the morning, they'd still be worse off than the generation before them. They look at their spending power before they go off and they buy the €1,000 phone. Keep your texts coming in. Like I said, 53106. You can call me on 1890 453 106. Aidan Regan is a lecturer in the UCD School of Politics and International Relations. Aidan, how problematic is it in any society to have a disenfranchised generation like this emerging?
I mean, it's problematic because it's something we're not used to. I think the promise of capitalist democracy was that, and is, that each generation can expect an improvement in their standard of living, in their purchasing power, and in our societies in particular, expectation of home ownership than the previous generation. So when you remove that expectation and one generation has a lower standard of living, of course, the measurement of that is problematic. We could talk about it. But then, yeah, it kind of, as you mentioned in your introduction, it ruptures the social contract.
What is the manifestation then of that problem in society?
Well, I mean, the manifestation of it, I mean, there's a lot of research on this internationally that, you know, younger voters or a generation of voters that have an expectation of a certain standard of living, when that's not matched, they tend to, let's just say, vote against the status quo. They will vote against incumbent governments. They will vote against kind of centrist parties. Depending on the country in question, you know, you could argue that it would lead to the rise of populism, which is a very broad concept. But I think in the Irish case, it's fairly clear where a lot of that vote will go, and it will go to Sinn Féin.
Yeah, that seems to be certainly by the tenor of the text coming in, the problem that this government faced post-pandemic is trying to turn around that ship, and difficult to see how they can do it in a kind of 3, 4 or 5 year spell. We talked about the social contract possibly being broken. Is that democratic capitalist model broken then? Or is this possibly a hangover still from the crash 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, we haven't seen the full ESRI report, but I would imagine that the full report will show that, you know, incomes have grown in Ireland since the 80s on average. And in that sense, the typical measures we use to measure income inequality will have improved. And that's mainly because of we have a progressive tax and welfare system. We tax higher income earners. We redistribute it downwards. The report that was in the news today and that was published today is much more focused on earnings, right? That's the wages that people earn. And that's very different. And what that research shows is that you have, it would appear, a large cohort of people, those born in the 80s and 90s, as you mentioned in your introduction, some of them earning good wages, but not all of them. Basically having a lower standard of living measured in terms of the earning capacity and most concretely in terms of housing. So yes, it is related to a structural shift over time from the 50s and 60s where you had the birth of democratic capitalism, the rising tide lifting all boats, increased home ownership, higher income purchasing power. But then you have the more proximate cause of the financial crash and the scarring effect of the financial crash. And we were only just kind of getting out of that prior to COVID, and then COVID came along and in some ways has just kind of reset the clock slightly again, because it's younger workers who are feeling the brunt of this crisis once again.
The release valve in previous years in Ireland, when we faced difficulty like this, was emigration. People just went all over the world. That release valve, that valve has been closed temporarily, but it's hard to know exactly at what pace it might reopen that valve. And that might change things compared to previous cycles, might it?
Yeah, it might. But I think, you know, if you look at the report today, for example, focused on, and again, the data that's in the report is public, it's available. What the researchers have done, Barra Rowntree and colleagues at the ESRI, has harmonized a lot of this. So for example, they focus in on key sectors, or they highlight key sectors, hospitality, arts, leisure, retail. People have to work in those sectors. So whether we have immigration and people leaving the country to work in other countries, those jobs will have to be filled, and they will be filled by inward migration, if not by domestic residents. So I think this idea that we are going to solve the problem by having, or not solve the problem, but having the safety valve of immigration, that's really not a solution here. And it's a complex problem. But, you know, what we know is that there are different sectors in Irish society, in the economy, and there's high paid and low paid. We tend to hear a lot about the high paid foreign and direct investment sectors and business and finance. But we don't hear a lot about the large cohort of people who don't earn those high wages, but have to pay the same cost of living in terms of housing and so forth as the rest of us.
Well, listen, Aidan, don't go anywhere, because I mentioned the number earlier for people to get in touch, 1890-453-106. And Alison is on the line. Alison, you, I understand, are in that generation. Today we can officially say you're going to be worse off than the generation before you.
Yes, I am. I'm 27. And when I heard this report, I wasn't that surprised at all. The word that jumped out for me was stagnant wages. I've been working for the last 5 years in various areas, logistics, retail, tourism, and working for minimum wage. No increase, no incentive, nothing's improving. Like, and you hear these things about people can't buy a house and they're earning 30,000-40,000. Like, people like me just don't know what do you do. Like, it seems like an impossible dream. Like, how has this been allowed to happen? I've gone to college, I've done a master's, I've tried to retrain, like, and it's kind of unbelievable. Like, you kind of feel ashamed, you feel stuck. Like, is it my fault? You know, like, how do you get out of this? It's just it's very hard to kind of motivate yourself when this is your reality, you know. It really is.
And Alison, this sounds like kind of a strange thing to ask. I mean, in a way, does this report vindicate how you're feeling? You know, you kind of feel, as you said, like it's somehow your fault. It's not your fault, is what this is saying.
Yeah, I think the report is good, because it's proof that it's, you know, it's not just millennials complaining, you know, about little things. Like, this is a generational issue. Like, I know lots of people from different backgrounds in this situation, like, who I've worked with, and it's the same thing. Like, people just don't know how to get out of it. They don't know what their future holds. And yeah, this report kind of puts it into perspective that we have a problem, and it's a big one.
And in the area of work you're in at the moment, I mean, are there clear pathways for progression? Like, can you think and see a map in front of you that says, yeah, look, I can't buy a house now, but if I keep going out of that, in 5-10 years time, I'll be earning enough to buy one?
No, I can't. And I know a lot of people like that. You go from job to job hoping things will improve, and I've no problem working hard, I've no problem working my way up, but when there's not a lot of progression on offer, like, what are you going to do? Like, I'm probably going to have to move around again and hope, you know, hope eventually that I'll land somewhere on my feet. Like, I'm writing a book at the moment, a novel, and that's kind of my joke, that I'll make my millions and buy a house from that. But like, it's a good plan as anything, you know, the way things are for my generation. Like, well, sorry to be facetious.
No. Listen, you'd have to come back when you make your millions from the novel. Alison, stay with us. Danny is on the line as well. Danny, what's your own situation?
Hi, Kieran. Well, I'm not too much different from Alison there. I'm 33 years old. I work in a job with very little progression offered. And I actually live, believe it or not, in one of the counties, the aforementioned counties, that would supposedly be affordable for a single person. But I mean, I'm a single person. I live in Longford. I've actually had to move back home. You know, I went back to college there at the age of 28 to study music because it was a lifelong passion. And I find myself now, that I've graduated from college, I'm actually in more or less the same position I was before I went to college. You know, in about a 30 grand a year job after tax with no potential to own a house.
And I mean, the same question I asked Alison then, Danny, I mean, do you have any solace looking into the future that, listen, at least if I keep the head down, you know, housing will be affordable, I will have a pension, I will have some comfort, or do you see a way out?
Honestly, no. I mean, it's just a very, very depressing for somebody my age to be in. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't see any progression, particularly in my current role. Do you know, like, I work in renewables, sales for renewables. And there is no progression per se, you know, I mean, bar some magical thing happens where like a bunch of social housing is available in the next 5 years, I honestly can't see it happening.
Yeah, someone has texted in to say, I'm 38, I have a good job, I have a PhD, I'm single, trying to buy in Dublin and even getting mortgage approval for anything affordable is very, very difficult. Niall says, Kieran, this ESRI report is pretty accurate. My salary was €15,000 in 1992 and I was age 25. A house at the time cost €62,000 in the suburbs of Dublin. If you earn 50 grand today, you won't be able to afford a house in the suburbs of Dublin for 200k. More importantly, rent was way cheaper too. And Niall, I think that hits the nail on the head. Aidan, how does this report and these figures and the experience of Danny and Alison and everybody else getting in touch, how does it tally with an economy that pre-pandemic was going gangbusters?
I mean,
because it was, like, on paper.
It was on paper. And I think on paper, that's the important thing. If I can get, so on the one hand, it seems to me we have a problem in this country because our aggregate measures of economic growth are junk, quite frankly. We talk about GDP, we talk about the economy growing, but the question really is growing for who? Which social groups are benefiting from the income growth? And what the report today shows, and I think you'll see it in more detail when the full report is released, market incomes in Ireland are very unequally distributed. It is true that there are certain sectors, certain firms, and certain parts of the Irish economy that are booming and doing extremely well. But that's not the case, I think, for at least 50, 60, arguably the bottom 80% of the market income distribution. So I think there's a kind of clash here between the general narrative of, you know, everything is going great, the economy is booming, we're getting close to full employment, and the lived reality, as your speakers just mentioned, about affordability, you know, paying 30%, 40% of your disposable market income on rent, right? That's unprecedented compared to previous generations. So I think we need to be much more specific and much more accurate when we talk about the economy and economic growth in this country, because we are an island and we are a very unique island because we are so disproportionately affected by the global movements of capital.
I'm a 27-year-old worker, so someone else, and I since I've been 16, I haven't had a fancy car or a phone. All my money goes into savings. I've paid my way through college because I was €100 above the limit to get a grant. I worked 50 to 60 hours a week whilst in college to get a good paying job. I'm still not able to afford housing in this country. Most people of my age are in similar conditions. Even the price of rent is too much at times in Ireland. A couple of people, though, texting in and making the point that younger people don't have a monopoly on misery. Pat says, I purchased my house in 1974 and it cost me 7 times my annual salary and I paid 19% interest on my loan. Someone else says, the self-employed group, who are now in their 60s, are pretty badly off. We went through the difficult times of the 80s, the recession, the property crash, the bank crash, no pensions and no time to save either, which is an unenviable position to be in. And thank you for that text, and thank you to Aidan Regan, the lecturer in UCD School of Politics and International Relations, and Alison and Danny as well, who got in touch on 1890 453 106. Keep your own views coming in on this issue. If you are in that age cohort, maybe you're not. Maybe you disagree with the ESRI report. Maybe you think younger people today You know what? They are snowflakes and whinging millennials. The SRI disagree. I disagree. But maybe you don't. Keep your views coming in. 53106.